right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. It's Friday, so that means Sandy Williams, and it's always glad to be joined by Sandy. We got a lot of things we're going to be talking about, but right now we're talking about how and why the price of gas has gotten to record levels, and Sandy's explaining, if you missed earlier, about how that happened. And I asked him during the break, is it, you know, we act as though we're the only ones who've been impacted by the price of oil. And so if and you said no, you said,
well, no, the world, obviously the world has been impacted. And in fact, Europe, because of the problems with Russia and the huge portion, they get 30% of their oil, approximately over 45% of their natural gas from Russia. So the curtailments to Europe have caused a very substantial squeeze in the price, and that's how that converted to a squeeze and an upward movement in price in the United States. Because when the price of oil and gas goes up in Europe, the price they're willing to pay for imported oil, tankered oil from the United States, goes up. We start tankering more oil to Europe because the producers of oil say, I can make more money selling to Germany than I can selling to California. And so they start sending their oil in tankers abroad, which shortens the supply of oil in the United States, which is would account for whatever this 50 cents that whoever these Republican experts are that want to attribute a portion of the price increase, which is incidentally a pretty difficult thing to figure out. So, you know, but the I suppose you can look at the supply changes and the demand changes and try to quantify those and apportion blame for that. But the supply side is approaching a U.S. production record this year, and the supply side has been recovering more slowly because of these problems created by the COVID pandemic, by the shortage of parts and labor. Those have been contributing factors as well. And it would be, I think, very hard to attribute the futures price of oil, which is what would be affected by shutting the pipeline or curtailing exploration. Those are things that are going to affect oil supply in the future, okay? Not going to affect it today. So people buy gas for current use and they buy it for future use. Both the future price and the current price have an effect on the price of gas at the pump. The thing that has the most substantial effect on the price at the pump is the spot price, the current price.
So, a couple other things. Why is it going to be an impact that Putin only wants the oil? He wants to be paid in rubles? Explain.
Okay,
to us.
Well, that's a different issue. So, when the sanctions on Russia started, and we put sanctions on their financial operations, the purchase of Russian products in the world fell way off. When you purchase a Russian product, you end up essentially purchasing rubles. And so the value of a ruble goes up compared to the dollar, right? So, you know, 3 months ago, a ruble was worth maybe, there were maybe 62 rubles to the dollar. After the sanctions, when the sanctions hit, it fell all the way down to 133 rubles to the dollar. So the value of a dollar went way up against the ruble. Now, if you have to buy, if you buy gas from Russia and you have to pay rubles, you have to buy rubles, right?
Yes.
To get the rubles to buy the gas. So if you use dollars to buy rubles, the value of the ruble against the dollar is going to go up.
Yeah, right.
Okay? And so what's happened actually is if you look now at the ruble, I think yesterday it was 83 rubles to the dollar. So the actions that Putin has taken to drive people into using rubles instead of dollars to buy, because most of the European gas purchases that were made or sales that were made by Russia to Europe were denominated in euros. And so the European people were using euros to buy gas, not converting it to rubles. And so what Putin realized is if I make them convert to rubles to buy gas only in rubles, they're going to have to buy rubles with euros. And then they'll buy the gas. And so that has very much materially affected the price of the ruble. The ruble is still deflated from what it was before the sanctions, but it's, like I said, 83 yesterday,
So we're also going to see what we always see every year when the blend changes from the winter blend of gas to the summer blend of gas, and the price goes up. We're also going to have to deal with that, right?
Yeah, and I think that goes up not so much because of the supply of oil, but because the refineries...
Right, but it is going to be going up even more.
It could go up more, yes. And I guess people have to understand that it's a confluence of many factors, and that the there will come a time when curtailing new discovery and new drillable land and the curtailment of that pipeline will affect supply. And so it could have an impact on the price. I mean, there's no denying that those actions could impact the price. There is just little to believe about the notion that the current effect on the price has been caused by those actions. Those actions were all taken in the last 12 months.
So people who bought all of these lands to drill on...
Let me stop you there. They don't buy the lands. Okay,
they rent it?
Well, they lease it, almost all the land that they're drilling on now. If they're drilling in the territory of the United States, they might be drilling on private property. When they drill in the Gulf of Mexico or when they drill offshore, that's all licensed to them by the government. No one owns that land other than the government in the territorial area.
So are these people who are drilling and buying access to drill already know there's oil there, or are they taking a risk?
They take a modest risk. There's a lot of very sophisticated exploration that goes on now, and the level of certainty about where the oil lies is relatively high.
So I want to let's see where we are. Okay, we got a couple minutes. I want to change the conversation, but we'll do that after the break. We've got a couple more minutes. So Sandy, going back to when the prices were...
One thing during the break I could bring up, you were talking about the price under... We were talking about when the price had last been this high.
You're right.
And so you suggested that in your recollection, it hadn't been this high since Jimmy Carter.
Right, $106, $110
a
barrel.
But Jimmy Carter was almost 50 years ago. And if you inflate, if you take the consumer price index and inflate the price of that 106, let's say it was 106 under Jimmy Carter, in today's dollars, that might be 360. I mean, I have to pull out my, but
no,
I guarantee you that it's a multiple of 120, let's say. And so my guess is that it would be up in the 360 range. So in real dollars, the price of oil today is much cheaper than it was whenever the record was set under Jimmy Carter.
So let me ask you this, because I guess he's going to pull out 180 billion barrels out of, 500 billion or so that we had. Why then? Because we were already short. They never replenished it over the years from the oil that we had taken out of our reserves.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they have done that when gas prices, when the oil was... You know, the last year or so, or 3 years under Trump, 4 years under Trump.
Well,
putting it back.
Yeah, taking it out of the reserve and putting it in the marketplace will have a short run effect. And so if you do it, you know, you better do it for something that is a short run, what you think is a short term circumstance, because otherwise it just creates a blip in the price. And a blip isn't going to help you. I mean, if it goes down for 3 weeks and then jumps back up again, that doesn't help very much.
Yeah.
But you know, the volume of oil that has been decreased. I think that the Russian exports of oil are 3 million barrels a day. And I think we're talking about releasing 1 million barrels a day.
We got to go to break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy Williams is here. We'll be right back.